Standing up for Milwaukee, this is the Mark Belling Late Afternoon Show on News Talk 1130 WISN. We are joined at the beginning of this segment by Reince Priebus, the former chairman of the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin. Haven't talked to him on the air in a couple of years. You haven't really been up to anything the last 2 years or anything, have you?
No, just hanging out, Mark.
obviously, Reince was the chairman of the Republican National Committee for a number of years, helped guide the sweeping election results of 2016 that resulted in Republican gains across the country, and of course, Donald Trump being elected president of the United States, became chief of staff within the Trump administration, which lasted for a little over, I don't know,
six months and a week.
and that's what it was. And we haven't heard
still,
a lot.
Still the longest serving chief of staff. So I still have the title.
Well, my guess is Kelly's going to lap you on that one. I want to talk about the news of the day and also some other things. You today are endorsing Leah Vukmir in the race for the United States Senate in Wisconsin. We have a Republican primary here between Leah, who most people in this state know as being a prominent conservative state senator, and Kevin Nicholson, who has a very, very interesting life story and a recent conversion to conservatism, both running for the right to run against Tammy Baldwin. You've endorsed Vukmir. Tell us why.
Well, because I've seen throughout the country Republicans that run as Republicans and then they don't end up acting like Republicans. And although I was the RNC chairman, and with that comes certain stereotypes and labels, I think the people of Wisconsin know that I started out doing every crazy job in the party you could possibly imagine, from, you know, making sure there was enough pizza at the phone banks to winning the guy who won the Lincoln Day Award for putting the most yard signs up. In other words, everything and anything I did, I'm a grassroots guy. And when you have candidates like a Scott Walker, who, yeah, been in politics for a lot, you know, his entire life, but have shown in and time and time again that they will lead with a conservative bent like Leah Vukmir. And in fact, Leah was always pushing the envelope with Republican leadership, as you know. I think when you have someone that has all of the ingredients and has been tried and tested, you know, a former nurse, did other things too, I think you get behind those people who have been through thick and thin with us in Wisconsin. And so it's more about Leah as opposed to Kevin Nicholson. I don't really know him, but I do think it's strange that you have a president of the College Democrats. I was president of the College Republicans. He was president of the College Democrats for the entire country.
Hey, 5 years from now, you might be running as a Democrat for the Wisconsin United States. He was on the RNC. You were on the DNC. You ran the RNC.
but if I did that, what I think would be reasonable for people to say is, that's great, Kevin. You were the College Democrat president. Now you want to receive the nomination of the Republican Party for U.S. Senate. Do a few things first so that we can see what kind of Republican you are. I mean, raise some money for Scott Walker, help Ron Johnson, do some yard signs for somebody. And we haven't seen that. And it's not always about checkboxes, but I think College Democrat president to Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in a state like Wisconsin, where as Republicans, Tea Party, conservative, everything in between, we have been a unified party. And then to be lectured by the College Democrat president as to who's a real Republican and who's not, and call Leah Vukmir some kind of establishment rhino, I think is just beyond the pale. So that's why I'm endorsing Leah.
I think most Wisconsin Republicans are looking for a candidate who's going to go to Washington to support broadly what's becoming Trumpism. You have a handful of never-Trumpers who just can't get on board with the fact that we have a conservative president leading a conservative governing strategy and accomplishing a lot of conservative things. And you also probably have some people, call it alt-right or whatever, that simply can't get on board with anything that would be called Republican. Other than those two fringes, and they are fringes, I think what people are looking for from this state is somebody who's going to go there, stand their ground, not cave, not wilt, but generally advance this new agenda that we're getting a consensus off the tax cut, another thing starting to develop here, led by Trump, that essentially takes in broad-scale American conservatism with a real hint of populist reform. And the question is, who's likelier to bring that, Vukmir or Nicholson? But I do think that's what the voters are looking for. They don't want to elect somebody who's going to go there and wobbly, and you have to worry that they're going to be one of the two, you know, one of the two votes that's going to abandon the party and vote with the Democrats.
Well, and also, I'll just tell you, I mean, as someone who helped run the campaign for President Trump, I mean, he was an incredible candidate, and we're lucky to have him get through a 17-person fiasco. But at the same time, no one can deny that the Republican National Committees, state parties like Wisconsin, we were the campaign on the ground. And I've got to tell you, I never met Kevin Nicholson. So I'm not saying that that means a lot, other than to say that as far as people that were on the ground, people that were on the air, people that were and making a difference, Leah Vukmir was there. Diane Hendricks, who's one of the chairs of Leah Vukmir's campaign, she was there. She was not just someone who believes in what Donald Trump is doing in this country. And major donors get a bad rap that it's just about writing checks and getting things. She gets nothing. She wants nothing. She believes in what President Trump is doing. And she wrote checks everywhere, including the party, including the Koch brothers, including conservative groups. They were there. And so, and to me, that matters. So when you're running this test and you're measuring, okay, what's real and what's not, you know, politics is full of head fakes, and you can never quite tell what's genuine and authentic and what's not. So when you have an opportunity to support someone that both by her vote and her actions, I mean, she was a pain many times to Republican leadership in a good way.
Still.
You have to look at
I mean, she you know, there was a lot of Republicans ridiculous. In the legislature who don't like her because they think that she pushed the envelope from the right too hard.
That's exactly right.
That's kind of what I'm looking for. And I'm not ruling out the notion that Nicholson might be that guy, but I think the thing that's bothering Nicholson's campaign, and I've said this, is, you know, we in Wisconsin have been very engaged back from the days in which you were involved and we led the revolution in 2010. We have been through a national ringer here. We know who's with us and who isn't, and to have somebody who's trying to now tell us he is one of us kick in the teeth the people that have worked alongside of us, that's the part that I haven't liked. I want to get to, I think it's actually a related topic. You were in the first wave of the Trump administration with that very, very wild and motley group of people that included yourself, who never loosens the tie, and Steve Bannon, who never puts one on, and so on. Obviously, you know, and it was widely reported that you had developed an alliance with Bannon within the White House, and the two of you were trying to work together, whereas others may not have been. In any event, after you both left, you haven't said anything critical, publicly at least, of the president or people in the administration. Bannon, on the other hand, has made all sorts of shots. What do you think of the way Steve Bannon has handled his post-Trump period?
Well, I think that here's the thing. If the comments in the Wolf book are accurate, then it's a problem. And that wouldn't be, I think it's reckless, and it wouldn't be something that I would do. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think the president's doing a great job. I still have a good relationship with the president. We meet, we talk on the phone. I support him, and I'm going to continue to do it. I'm never going to be one of these people who write books and spout my mouth off. It's just not who I am. It's not the legacy I want to be. And as you know me, I'll never become that. So I look at the fundamentals. And if you look at the fundamentals, you look at the economy, look at unemployment, you look at ISIS, you look at the courts, you look at the federal courts more than any president in 1 year in the history of our country, he gets an A+. And granted, as you say, you know, I didn't take off the tie, Bannon didn't put one on, and we had a motley crew. But it's also the way, you know, the president encourages disagreement around him. It's the process he follows to make decisions. And he defaults to his campaign promises. And so, but as people like to write about that process, the last paragraph they always forget about is, well, how's it working? And if you, as you say, if you look at the fundamentals, that process works for him. And so do maybe people like me occasionally get caught in the crosshairs. Sure. But I knew that going in. So I'm not, this isn't, I think it's.
Let's talk about where he is right now. You are right. Things are going swimmingly well on most fronts, yet his popularity remains lagging in the polls, and there have been Democratic electoral gains in races around the country. The president's performance isn't translating entirely into political popularity, and this comes from a guy who's very focused on popularity. What's the problem?
I don't think there's a problem, because I think that, number one, I think as the tax cut bill keeps taking effect, the stock market jumped again today. The Democrats blew it on the shutdown. You saw the generic ballot, Republican-Democrat, narrow to 4 or 5 today by 2 different polls. And keep in mind, what was the president's approval rating on Election Day of 2016? It was 37%. It's in the exact same place today as it was on Election Day. The second thing is, well, who's running for president against President Trump? You know, that they don't have a bench either. Who's going to beat President Trump?
Yeah, but I think you'd grant that, generally speaking, if we have a strong economy, presidents are popular. And if we have a weak economy, presidents aren't. You don't believe that there's been an underperformance in Trump's style just gets in the way of some people being willing to say, I approve of the job.
Well, I think it can get in the way. I do. But I believe that over time, and as people are not going to be able to deny the success of what he's doing, you're seeing it more and more now where people will say, on the fundamentals, the president's done a phenomenal job. And then the media will say, yeah, but on these other issues. But I think it's more important, more people see the fundamentals of what Trump has promised and what he's done. I think you're going to see those numbers change.
I want to prove to the audience that I'm not deaf. I heard you say something a couple of minutes ago, and it didn't go in one ear and out the other. You said you still meet and talk with the president. Describe what your current relationship with him is. Have you talked to him recently, and what are the sorts of things that you continue to consult with him about?
Well, I mean, I don't get into all of it, Mark, but I talk to him maybe every 3 or 4 or 5 days. We met for lunch a couple times. I think we both appreciate each other and like each other and consider each other friends. We talk sometimes about the issues of the day or what something that's going on in the news and what maybe a good way around it is, and the same things we've always talked about. You know, and so I don't want to get into too much of that, Mark, but it's a good relationship. And, you know, he deserves loyalty from people that he gave an opportunity to. And granted, I'm not there anymore. But I also, like I said before, I knew going in it wasn't going to be easy. And I appreciate the opportunity I had. And I'm always going to be grateful for it.
Are you planning to have any type of role at all in the 2018 campaign? You're working right now for your old law firm, Michael Best and Friedrich, and you're out there in Washington, D.C. Do you see any type of a political role in 18 in these off-year elections?
Look, I don't know. I mean, I think as far as helping candidates make sure they have the resources they need to get elected, helping people like Leah Vukmir in Wisconsin, obviously a place I care about a lot, and something that we built together there that I don't want to see thrown off a kilter. I think I'm going to be involved there. I might be helping Paul Ryan on making sure that we do everything we can to keep the House. And then also helping the president moving into 2020 is probably, you know, something that's on the table and something that it's hard for me not to be involved with.
I want to go back to some of the areas that you were involved in when you were in the White House. And I think with regard to the president, his strengths are also his weaknesses, and that is the communicating and the messaging. A lot of people think that the tweeting creates unnecessary controversies and throws people off and becomes off message. On the other hand, when he uses it effectively, it has been a remarkably powerful tool to communicate with the public. I do think over the last 3 days, they really got their act together. As you know, when the government shuts down, Republicans get the blame. In this instance, the president made it clear he didn't want a shutdown. Somebody came up with the idea of calling it the Schumer shutdown. The president hammered and hammered, I don't want this. They're preventing it. And it was the Democrats that caved. I thought that this was a masterful job of preempting the media narrative here and creating their own, which is hard for Republicans to do because they don't have the media on their side. Comment on the president's communication style, and do you think he's getting better at it?
Well, I think that, okay, so let me unpack this a little bit. On the shutdown, the one thing you also had underneath everything you just laid out is you had also total unanimity among basically all the segments of the Republican Party, the Freedom Caucus, the what's called the Tuesday group, which is the moderates, and then the people that are trying to run the day-to-day operation, like Paul Ryan and Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise. So you had the basic structure of the party on the same page. It's not like debating DACA, which, by the way, in 3 weeks can be a lot tougher situation if we're on the phone in a few weeks to get everyone on the same page. So you had the party infrastructure on the same page here, which made the messaging piece so much better and easier, and yet everyone working diligently, desperately together to make sure that we laid out the case that this was the Democrats not giving us 8 votes in the Senate that created this shutdown. And President Trump won hands down. Now, as far as his communication strategy, I've always found the president to be extremely effective when it comes to taking things in his own hands and running the ball down the field. Now, I know a lot of people debate that and say, well, you know, he could have said something differently, you know, or not said something at all. But all in all, if you take the whole package, I think he's just proven over time able to weather a storm, double down, triple down, and quadruple down, and eventually win almost every fight he gets involved with. And I'm not a sycophant. I'm just saying that I have been on the other side of this, Mark. I have been on the campaign trail saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't tweet this. And you know what? Guys like me, the supposed experts, were probably wrong the entire time, because the American people wanted the guy that's going to swing for the fences, land the punches, and maybe you swing and you miss once in a while. But all in all, you win the fight, and he's been doing it.
You would encourage him to keep his Twitter account active and keep tweeting?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I would encourage him. I would encourage perhaps running some of the tweets past others. You know, I'm sort of cautious to a fault. But again, you asked me what I would do. What I would do is I'd run the tweets through the comm shop more. But again, I say that in the same breath to say that people like me have been wrong, and people like President Trump have been right.
I want to move and shift gear. We're talking to Reince Priebus, former White House Chief of Staff, who's today endorsing Leah Vukmir for the United States Senate. One of the things that I think has happened over the last several really weeks with President Trump, and remember, he came in and ran for president by running essentially in those primaries against the Republican Party. He criticized a lot of things that past Republicans had done and was harshly critical of a lot of his critics. And even in the general election campaign, there was an uneasy alliance between the Republican infrastructure that helped get him elected, led by you, and the party establishment itself. And even over the last, you know, in 2017, there were a lot of shots taken at Senator McConnell and many others in the congressional leadership. What I think the president is coming around to realize is the other side, the Democrats, hate him. And the only way he can succeed is with Republicans, and he recognizes that if the Republicans lose control of the Senate or, God forbid, the House in the 2018 elections, his ability to change the country and move in the direction that he wants is shot. And I think, and maybe it was the tax cut and winning a victory here where just about everybody stood by him, and now the government shut down where they stood together, that you are gradually seeing President Trump realizing the Republican Party is his ally, and he's developing more of an affinity for the people within it. That's a long question, but I think he's moving in this direction where he's a Republican, and he may still be a different type of Republican, but he realizes that he needs allies, and that most Republicans, including some of those that don't want to say it all that often, are still his biggest asset.
I think it's totally insightful and totally correct. But the other thing you add on to this is that he's already by nature a person who doesn't like to burn bridges. In other words, he keeps friends close. He understands the diversity of opinion within the party. He totally understands the difference between a moderate from New Jersey and, you know, a Freedom Caucus member from North Carolina. So he's living through this. The other thing I would say that people, he doesn't get enough credit for, is that he, you know, this media narrative that somehow he's disengaged from these fights. There has never been a president that has met with more members, more senators, more House people, talks on the phone to all of these folks constantly, never gets tired of it. So he's gotten to know more members and where they're coming from and what their opinions are in such a short period of time that it's made him deeper and better. But if you add on the fact that he has these instincts from New York as a real estate developer that he's not going to burn bridges, and you never know, you might need Lindsey Graham for something a month from now. So you go and you go golfing 8 times with Rand Paul, even though he keeps voting no on the Obamacare repeal and replace, and people are telling the president, why are you doing this? You're wasting your time.
Yeah, inherent in your answer is that all of this notion that the president has got cognitive issues and is losing it, that that's an absurd claim. So I won't even need to get you to add in that, because I think it's inherent in your commentary that he's on top of things. My final question to you is, do you envision, is it possible you're going to be back in the administration in an official role doing something or not?
Oh, I wouldn't touch that. I doubt it. And I would never touch that to make that kind of news to begin with. So no way. But you know what? Look, it's our country. It's the president. It's the agenda that we all believe in. And while we kind of debate some of the fringe issues that go on, the basics are great. The fundamentals are there. And I support him, our party, and our country.
Thanks for joining us.
Which is why I think Leah should be elected as our nominee.
Which you very effectively work at again. Thanks for joining us, Ryan. That's Ryan Primus, former White House Chief of Staff, former Chairman of the Republican National Committee. Some